Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. This episode of the Raptors Over Everything Podcast is brought to you by our official sponsor, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the official food of basketball. So make sure you're never missing buckets. Order yours online at kfc.ca. And get it before tip-off, or in this case, get it, you know, after tip-off, after the final buzzer, because it will make you feel a lot better. So, the Raptors lost this game by a score of 101-99, and it's just an unfortunate loss. It really is, because the Raptors led for all but 17 seconds. Just think about that. Only 17 seconds did not lead. And it's just really, really unfortunate. The Raptors cruising in this game. Led for most of the game by double digits. You know, they were throwing out a very, very shorthanded roster. Yes, Matt Thomas comes into the lineup, but they lost Fred VanVleet, who apparently might miss not just one game, but maybe an additional game. So we'll see what happens the rest of this week. It's just unfortunate, man. The Raptors were cruising along. They played well enough to win, but in crunch time, they did not execute well enough. And I'll say this right now. It's not fair to put it all on one guy because there's a lot that happened. But I just got to get off my chest, man. What the hell was Pat McCaw doing? The Raptors, down the stretch, I mean, again, many people made mistakes, all right? The Raptors were leading by, I think at some point they were up like 17, maybe 15, something like that. But they were up double digits for sure. And, you know, a couple plays weren't made. You know, I don't know what Nick Nurse is doing, drawing up a play for Rondé to go to the rim. It seemed like that was the second option, but still, Rondé against Hassan Whiteside at the rim, not great. But still, it's a jump ball. Rondé wins the jump ball against Hassan Whiteside. Score is tied. And they reset. They get the ball out to the perimeter to Pat McCaw, safe hands. And Kyle Lowry comes across a couple of screens on the baseline and emerges and tries to get the ball. And understand this. There was maybe like five defenders in one corner of the floor. And Kyle Lowry's coming from the corner, comes to the top of the floor to get the ball. And for some reason, McCaw throws a bounce pass in the corner. Who does that? Who the hell does that? Kyle Lowry's not expecting the bounce pass. He's expecting a pass, yes, but who the hell is throwing a bounce pass in the situation? It goes off his feet. It goes out of bounds. The Raptors have basically squandered that last chance there to maybe take command of the game and then maybe force the Blazers to do something. Instead, it becomes a turnover. The Blazers get what is essentially a last possession. I think CJ is the one that's mostly sizing it up on one side of the floor. He kicks it out to Melo. OG closes out hard to get run off the three-point line and then has to recover to the mid-range area, but Melo is already there. He rises up. OG is late to contest, and Melo has made a whole career, really, of hitting mid-range jumpers, hits the mid-range jumper. The Raptors are down to 3.3 seconds left, and all they can get is like a Kyle Lowry, you know, a decent shot in the circumstances, but 3.3 seconds is not a lot of time. Kyle Lowry is unable to hit the fadeaway three, basically, and that's game over. And it's just unfortunate because why the hell would you throw a bounce pass in the corner like that? Why? Why? And there's a lot of things you can ask. Like, why was Pat McCaw even in the game in that situation? You have the opportunity to play offense, defense. Why not put a shooter in the game? Someone who can, you know, actually is willing to shoot the ball, is willing to make a good play. But in that situation, forget all of that. Just why did he throw a bounce pass? That pretty much ended the game for the Raptors. It was unfortunate. But there's other couple of just bad plays that happened throughout. You know, there was, first off, Damian Lillard was just insane in the fourth quarter. Hit a bunch of really, really deep threes. I mean, he's really good at shooting these threes, but it was like comical how deep these were, like 35 feet. And the last of the ones, I think he hit three of them in the fourth quarter there, but the last one, which I take exception to, and Nick Nurse took exception to it too, because like you have Hassan Whiteside setting a screen, basically a foot inside of the half court, and you can see it's a moving screen. He's moving the whole time. He never stops. He never gets set. And he's moving the whole time, and it bumps Rondé. Rondé's falling to the floor. There's no way you don't see that as a referee. And that foul right there, that one goes uncalled, gives Dame just enough time to step in ahead of Serge Ibaka from like 35 feet out and hits the three to tie the game. Nick, after the game, said it was clearly an offensive foul. We'll see if there's a fine coming there. The NBA, I'm sure they're going to be on their bullshit and be like, oh, that's actually a full legal screen, blah, blah, blah. They never admit anything. The NBA just never admits anything. The last two-minute report is a joke. But, yeah, a moving screen there. It allows Dame to hit the three. Of course, you give Dame a lot of credit because he hit a bunch of huge threes in the fourth quarter there to get them in. Even if he misses one of these 35, 38-feet shots, the Raptors don't, or the Raptors are going to win this game. The Blazers lose this one. But they made the shot. But still, clearly a moving screen. It's unfortunate. And, you know, but there's a couple of things that the Raptors just didn't do down the stretch. I think defensively, you know, they definitely left Melo one too many times. Melo was really, really incredible. On top of hitting the game winner, he had a season-high 28 points. And unlike Melo, I mean, he was actually, you know, he was actually really efficient, really. I mean, there's a, you know, Melo, generally speaking, has not been that efficient on offense the last couple of years. But, hey, tonight, 28 points, 10 of 17 shooting, 5 of 8 from 3. The Raptors just kept losing Melo, which I thought was surprising. Nobody else on the Blazers were really hitting threes. It was really just, you got to get up on Dame, obviously. You got to give him a Melo. Everyone else is not doing well. CJ had a terrible night, 0 of 6 from the field. The supporting cast, who cares if Gary Trent Jr. shoots a shot or Nasir Little shoots a shot or Mario Hezonja shoots a shot? Nobody cares, all right? Get out to Carmelo and guard him. And for some reason, the Raptors kept leaving him open. There were some mistakes on that front, for sure. And, you know, you can look at things like why were some players in the game. But ultimately, it's a fully winnable game. Like, if I had to describe this game, it's really the Raptors snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, because they were leading by, again, they only led for 17 seconds of this game. It's kind of insane that this game was lost, to be honest. It was actually a lot of it was a feel-good game for most of the game. The Raptors played pretty much a G League lineup, and it was working. You know, Stanley Johnson and Matt Thomas got in some run with the G League yesterday. The Raptors 905 defeated the Erie BayHawks, you know, in Mississauga, and it was honestly it was just nice to see some of the guys go down there. It was a fun time. I talked about it with Blake Murphy of The Athletic on the Raptors Everything podcast for this week. You can go look that up. It was released before the Blazer game. But, yeah, I mean, you got Stanley going down there to get, you know, a rehab stint. Matt Thomas coming back from injury. He got a rehab stint. And those guys played well. And you got Nick Nurse down there, a couple of the assistant coaches down there. Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet got a bobblehead night. He was there. Norman Powell was there. DeJuan Hernandez, Terrence Davis were all there. It's a great outing. And, you know, basically it was a continuation of that. It was a back-to-back for some of these guys. I mean, Matt Thomas played again tonight. Stanley Johnson played tonight. Actually was okay. Even though he shot 1-7, he was okay. Made decent decisions. Freaking better than McCaw. And, you know, the Raptors at the start of the second quarter, at the start of the fourth quarter, opened those quarters with a lineup which essentially was 5 G League players. You know, McCaw, I don't think he's been in the G League this year or even in last year, but, I mean, realistically, a G League level player. He's playing point guard. Matt Thomas, G League guy yesterday, played shooting guard, small forward. Stanley Johnson, quite honestly, he's played at like a G League level this year. O'Shea Brissett, who's on a two-way deal, came in, played the power forward position, and then Boucher, who was G League MVP last year, played center. And honestly, the Raptors are winning a lot of those quarters and a lot of those moments, and it was a little shaky because the Blazers they were hot from all the entire of the fourth quarter. But there were some shaky moments there, and that lineup was actually holding their own. I mean, like, shout out to Chris Boucher. Played really well tonight in his limited minutes off the bench. He picked up 5 fouls, and that kind of forced him to the bench. But Boucher did most of the scoring in terms of for that G League lineup in the fourth quarter there. He hit 2 threes. He hit one from the corner. Hit one from the top. You know, he had a pick and roll where he rolled to the rim and finished over Whiteside, which was not easy. Whiteside had 7 blocks tonight. Was really good in terms of just shutting things down around the basket. And then also, he had an incredible rebound where he rebounded the ball and then took a coast-to-coast, Pascal Siakam style, and went in for a layup and scored. Again, heavily contested there. So Boucher was actually really good. Brissett also stepped up in the fourth quarter there. He hit a three from the corner to give the Raptors some breathing room. And he also, the Raptors actually threw a lob to him. It was actually a set play. The lob was unsuccessful because Brissett couldn't get high enough to finish it. But while Brissett was down, the Raptors actually got a stop, and Lowry hit him, found him with a hit-ahead pass. Brissett was still on the other side of the floor, and so he got in for a dunk. Boucher and Brissett were not the problem. If anything, those guys were actually executing better than some of the Raptors starters offensively. It was a feel-good night in that sense because, again, these guys were playing really well. It's unfortunate that the Raptors lost this game. To be honest, I'm still trying to rack my brain in terms of just thinking about how the Raptors lost this game. Even defensively, like, it wasn't the greatest game. They could have done a little bit better. But, I mean, ultimately, it was like Damian Lillard hitting a whole bunch of really, really deep shots. Like, Dame, for most of the night, was pretty quiet in the fourth quarter. He turned it on. He hits, like, three just super deep threes. Okay. Melo obviously was hurting them all night. But, I mean, like, they did a pretty good job against Whiteside. 14 points, 37 minutes, 7 of 13 shooting. Most of his points were from the Raptors blitzing Damian Lillard, and so Whiteside would get inside. A couple of times Kyle Lowry was able to stop him. OG had a nice play there as well. But just Whiteside was able to, I mean, whatever. You're going to give up something. He's 7 feet tall, and he's going to finish around the basket. If you're going to trap Damian Lillard at half court, basically, Whiteside's going to get a couple layups. You know, but it was an acceptable layup. Like, 14 points in 37 minutes, you'll live with that. Kent Bazemore got himself ejected from the game. Basically, he tried to go for a layup against Matt Thomas, missed, and then couldn't live with the shame of missing against Matt Thomas, and picked up two immediate techs and got thrown out of the game in the third quarter. That was actually kind of hurtful because Baze was not doing much offensively or defensively, so kind of would like them to stay in the game, but whatever. He got kicked out. CJ, as I mentioned, had a really cold night. Brissett actually played really good defense on CJ, and Brissett actually got to close a lot of the fourth quarter, even when the rest of the G League guys got to the bench and the starters came back in. Brissett was one of the only guys out there with them because Brissett was playing such great defense against CJ McCollum. One thing you like about Brissett, and he showed this against the Celtics, is that he has really quick feet. And he's got good length too, and he's willing to defend. I mean, you're on a two-way deal, you better be willing to do whatever, but he's willing to defend. He's got quick feet, and he's able to stay ahead of guys. Like, CJ tried to cross him up, pull up a bunch of different moves, this, that. It just didn't really work out for him. He couldn't really shake Brissett, and that's impressive because it reminds me of what Brissett did against the Celtics, where it was Kemba Walker was trying to go at him, wasn't working. Jason Tatum tried to go at him, got a shot clock violation. So, Brissett is definitely showing something. And I know Nurse had a great time watching Brissett last night at the 905 because Brissett really took over in the fourth quarter there with a couple of highlight plays in terms of just like putback jams, things like that, coming out of nowhere. And when the cameras pan over to Nick Nurse and stuff, like, he was celebrating on the sideline. His feet were up in the air. He's having a great, great time watching the game. I think he's you could just tell Nick Nurse is a basketball junkie. But yeah, you know, Brissett, I mean, he's been positive. Even, like, Stanley Johnson wasn't that bad tonight. That's the thing. If Stanley Johnson plays well for you and you still lose, like, that's just weird. Like, Stanley was a plus seven. He's a plus seven in 17 minutes. Now, you look at the stat line, 1-7 from the field goal. It doesn't scream like a great game, but I'm telling you, when you watch the game, Stanley's actually making good decisions out there. He can handle the ball a little bit. He was defending well, had some good energy. I mean, he shut down Damian Lillard on one possession and got the turnover, actually. Swatted the ball out on CJ, or on Dame on the perimeter. Forced a turnover there. Had a block. A pretty nice block on Hassan Whiteside as well. Like, you know, Stanley, he played well. And honestly, if you look at, you know, the combination of Brissett and Johnson off the bench, they might have outplayed McCaw and OG on the starting lineup. Because those are the two guys that are most disappointing to me. McCaw was disappointing just because he plays 36 minutes. He like occasionally gets a steal here or there. He makes a play, but like, I don't know, man. It's a very weird 36 minutes. It's weird looking at him not doing much. But the other guy that I'm even more disappointed in is in OG, which there's been opportunity here with a couple guys injured. Not a couple guys, a lot of guys injured. There was a picture that floated around on Twitter during the game where it showed, I think, Norm sitting beside DeJuan Hernandez, sitting beside Pascal Siakam, sitting beside Fred VanVleet, sitting beside Marc Gasol. Those five guys right there alone could probably get you 50 wins in the Eastern Conference. Actually, probably get you 50 wins in the West, too, because the West is not that good this year. I mean, like, that's a lot of guys out, but that creates a big opportunity for people to step up, and OG just has not done it. OG just has not done it. If anything, it sort of exposed the fact that OG, for the most part, needs offense created for him. And so with guys like Siakam not on the floor to draw double teams and kick out to OG, you know, him and OG also had a good chemistry in terms of, you know, when Pascal Drew helped in the post, OG was able to cut, OG was able to finish. Or Marc Gasol, who has that great play where on the top of the floor he directs the cut, a split cut, and OG goes to the rim. Marc Gasol hits him with a high-low pass. It just has not really worked out for OG, though. Like, he has just, in this stint with everyone out, he's been disappointing. There's no other way around it. He's just been disappointing. He's had a couple of nice games in during the stretch. I mean, that Washington game, he was solid. But you look at it tonight, OG, in 30 minutes with the starting lineup, 3-9 from the field. Now, he hit 2 threes at the start of the third quarter. It was cool. It was looking, all right, maybe he could do some things. For the most part, invisible. All right, he had back-to-back threes. Other than that, invisible. Defensively, yeah, he got a stop on Dame once. But, you know, otherwise, I mean, it wasn't that impactful. I mean, you would have liked to see him guard Anthony a little bit better. Carmelo, to OG's credit, Carmelo did seek to get switches onto McCaw and was able to punish McCaw a lot. I mean, again, as a defensive specialist, that brings so little offensively. You need to at least be a defensive specialist. And Carmelo was carving up McCaw. But it was just OG. It's just kind of invisible. I don't know, man. I mean, it's got a couple boneheaded plays. Like, you know, he goes to the rim. He tries to go for a reverse dunk. Ends up basically coming up short, not having enough hops. And then landing hard on the floor and being out for the defensive possession. Like, that's not great. And just overall, I mean, you look at it. Not including tonight's game, where he shot 3 of 9 for 8 points, was a -9 in 30 minutes. OG, since the injuries, in the 9 games, I mean, he got benched for that one game, but he's averaging 9.8 points per game, shooting 45% from the field, 26% from three, not really getting to the free throw line when he does get there, 58%. It's not great. And the steals and blocks, which were a really, really impactful part of his game early in the season, have really come down. 0.7 steals, 0.3 blocks, I mean, in 30 minutes a game, like, that's just... it's just not enough. And it's kind of just like, you know, it's just disappointing, really, because there was an opportunity for OG to step up. A lot of guys have stepped up with the added opportunity here. This season, there have been so many injuries that there's really a lot of opportunities for people to step up. And OG has just not been able to do that in this latest stretch. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, overall, I mean, I don't know. It's weird, man. I keep saying this, but the Raptors had a they really should have won tonight, and they just didn't. And, you know, I guess you can credit the Blazers for sticking in it. They fought. They came through in the fourth quarter there. Outplayed the Raptors in the fourth quarter, 32-21. But it's just, yeah, I don't know. The Raptors should have won this game. And now they don't have a perfect record against under 500 teams anymore. You know, the Raptors, up until this point, were 19-0. That was obviously a large majority of the Raptors' wins this year. But now, with this loss, they're 19-1. Only one team left in the league is perfect against under 500 teams. That's the Lakers, who are going to play the Knicks tonight. So, I mean, chances are that's probably going to stay intact for the Lakers. But, yeah, it's just, you know, it is what it is. But I don't know. I wouldn't overreact to something like this either. Because you look at this game, Raptors played well enough to win, for the most part. And if you look at the schedule coming up, I mean... they only play two playoff teams all month in January. December was brutal for them, and they definitely hit a tough stretch there in December where they didn't know who they were, had all these injuries, you know, whatever. They had some comeback wins, but also had some deflating wins. In the month of January, it's easy. They play OKC in a couple of weeks, and then they play the Sixers, which is going to be tough. But otherwise, they're playing mostly under 500 teams, and I think the Raptors can still maintain a pretty damn good record against under 500 teams. They're pretty deep. They play hard. They execute. They defend. That's probably enough to beat most under 500 teams. So, I mean, I don't know. I think the Raptors will be able to make up ground in the standings, even though they're shorthanded. And to that front, at least I have some positive news. So, one, Norman Powell, who has been dealing with the shoulder issue, is apparently on... close to returning. He was upgraded to doubtful for tonight's game. You know, he didn't come out on the shoot and stuff like that, but I don't think he'll play tomorrow when the Raptors take on the Hornets on the road on a back-to-back, because, you know, it's just a weird situation. But at the same time, with the Raptors not playing on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday, the Raptors can have couple of rest days here to sort of get their guys going, to a couple of practices for Norm to get his rhythm, And I can honestly, I think Norm will probably play against the Spurs on the weekend, so that's nice. And then also, what is probably more encouraging is the fact that Pascal and Mark took part in pregame warm-ups today against the Blazers. Mark came out actually and basically pretty much did his whole shooting routine. He didn't really do like the stuff around the rim. He basically typically starts with like short jumpers, like 5 feet jumpers around the basket, and a couple of layups and stuff like that, and then he works his way out to the 3-point line, gets some catch and shoot threes, and then some like pick and pop on the move threes and stuff like that. But Mark was really sharp, man, really sharp. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's weird evaluating shoot around, but still, he was in a good rhythm. Definitely was doing things at game speed. It was good to see that from Mark. And then Pascal came out after him. Pascal was not as sharp as Mark, I gotta say. I mean, a couple stretches he missed like 8-9 shots in a row, but. It's just to even see these guys on the floor warming up. It's a nice sign. There's still no clear timeline that the Raptors have given for these guys. It's a little frustrating. The Raptors just don't give timelines for injuries. You're just kind of like, nah, he's out. When is he coming back? I don't know. Like, it's weird. But at least them coming out and shooting around, it's I would say it's a positive sign of their recovery and stuff like that. Because you straight up weren't even seeing these guys in previous games, and they definitely weren't in warm-ups and trying to shoot around and stuff. So those guys will provide a big boost. Fred, obviously, he's been out. I don't know. The Raptors said he might be out a while as well. We'll see. Nurse was kind of loose with his language, so we don't really know. But, I mean, he's got a hamstring issue. Fred does. He's also got a bit of a back issue. Wouldn't be surprised if those things are connected. And also, like, he's apparently got a jammed finger as well. So there's a lot going on. This team is real banged up. And, if you're going to take one positive from this game, at least no other Raptor got hurt. So that's something. But, damn, it's unfortunate. And you know, the most frustrating thing about this game, and something the Nurse talked about before the game, was that, like, you can't even take much away from these games, right? Because, like, what's the point? They don't have most of their guys, right? Like, and it's no matter they win or they lose, it doesn't really say much about the matchup. I mean, like, I don't think they're gonna. Well, first of all, they're not gonna play Portland again this year. Portland's probably not even gonna make the playoffs, and obviously not gonna make it to the finals. And the Raptors probably won't make it to the finals either. And they've already played twice, so it is what it is. But still, even against teams like Boston, for example, I'm not really sure how the Raptors match up against Boston because they're not full. They don't have the full roster. They don't, and there's so many circumstances. It's hard to evaluate a lot of these games. And honestly, the injuries are so bad. I mean, if you look at the situation like this, today against Portland, the Raptors, when they beat Portland on the road back in November, they had an entirely different starting five than what the Raptors are starting today, which is not that much longer. Like, I mean, it's only January. It's only been 2 months. To have that many injuries to the starting five and crucial guys, it's just, it's unthinkable, really. Because you look at it, what it was, you had Fred started at one. I think, I forgot who started at two. Maybe Terrence? Norm started at two. You have Pascal out there at four. You had, I forgot who started at three. Maybe Rondé? Because OG wasn't in that one. OG got hit in the eye and stuff like that. And Mark was at center. And you look at it tonight, like, it's just such a weird lineup, man. It's Lowry, it's McCaw, and it's just Serge, like OG, Rondé, like it's just weird, man. It's just weird to see the Raptors where they are right now. And I mean, I don't know. They played well enough to win. It's unfortunate they let one loose, let one slip. But you know, it just is what it is. But you know, whatever. They're gonna play again tomorrow. Hopefully, they can erase that. In terms of your KSC play, KSC bucket of the game. I'm gonna give that. I don't know. I mean, there were a lot of nice buckets in this one, so it's a little hard to choose here. I think, you know what? Ultimately, I think I'm giving it to Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, although really it's to Serge Ibaka, because I think it was the second quarter there. Serge Ibaka catches the ball on the perimeter, pump fakes, drives by the defender and takes a dribble, engages Hassan Whiteside on the help. And Serge gets up in the air, in midair, throws like a shovel pass to Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, who's cutting. Rondé is Hassan's man, and there's no rotation there. Rondé's able to get a dunk. It was just, the reason I'm picking this is because I mean, when are you going to see Serge jump up in the air and make a good pass? And in this case, a very slick pass to Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, who made a great cut. It was just a very nice play. And honestly, there's a couple of nice plays. There's a hammer play for Matt Thomas in the corner where Kyle Lowry was on the baseline, and Matt Thomas was like on the absolute corner. You cannot get any deeper into the corner. But that bought them a sliver of space, and then Lowry throws a pass along the baseline for Matt Thomas to hit a corner three. Matt Thomas hit two threes tonight in his return. That was nice to see. There's a lot of nice plays, man. Boucher taking a coast-to-coast, that's a nice play. There's a lot of KFC buckets of the game, but alas, you know. Really, the KFC bucket of the game is Carmelo Anthony hitting the game winner, but it's unfortunate. In terms of your three stars, first star, I guess I'll give it to, Kyle Lowry, I guess. 24 points, 4 rebounds, 10 assists. 7 of 23 shooting from the field, so that's not great. The three-point percentage, 4 of 16. I think what it really says, though, is that the Raptors just had no other options on the floor. Like, if you look at who's creating offense, like, it was already pretty skewed with Fred and Kyle on the floor. Now that it's just Kyle because Fred is out, like, he has to take 23 shots, and it's an inefficient outing from him. You want to see him score better, but, to even get 24 points and 10 assists out of your starting point guard when there's nobody else really on the floor that can create anything, it's impressive. And Kyle also made a couple of defensive plays or whatever, so, you know, whatever. Kyle was the Raptors' best player tonight, and it was nearly enough to get it done. Second star, I'll give it that to Boucher. I thought in the fourth quarter he really came on strong. 12 points, 9 rebounds, 3 blocks, 4 of 7 from the field, 2 of 3 from the three-point arc. In 16 minutes, the referees did call a lot of fouls on the Raptors. The Raptors got called for 21 fouls. The Blazers got called for 15. Raptors, I felt like they didn't shoot any free throws really down the stretch. But yeah, Boucher, in that fourth quarter there, really delivered a lot of scoring. I think 10 of his points, 10 of his 12 came in the fourth quarter. And he got into foul trouble or whatever, and he was a little bit small on the guard Whiteside, but Boucher definitely made an effort. And then third star, I guess I'll give that to Serge. 17 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 7 of 12 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. I mean, you could quibble with Serge not coming up high enough to guard Dame, but, like, it's one thing if Serge is dropping back in the paint against Dame, and Dame is, like, right wide open at a three-point arc. Dame was basically at half court most of these shots. And, you know, if Serge came out all the way to half court and got driven by and stuff like that, you probably blame him. Like, yo, why, you're supposed to protect the basket. What's going on? Obviously, yeah, it's easier to cherry pick something like that in hindsight. But I thought Ibaka was fine. And offensively, got him against Whiteside. Got Whiteside up and faked him around and got a crucial basket there. I think that was the Raptors' last basket of the game with Serge Ibaka doing that. And, you know, at least he can score. If you give the ball to Serge, he can actually do something. He had 2 threes, made a nice pass. So there you go, Serge Ibaka, your third star. But yeah, it's unfortunate. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, that can only go to Carmelo Anthony. 28 points, 7 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, 10 of 17 from the bench, 5 of 8 from the 3-point arc, 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 36 minutes. Carmelo, 3 to the dome, Melo. Was really damn good. And honestly, as a basketball fan, I've always really liked Carmelo Anthony. I've really enjoyed watching him. And a lot of people don't like him for some reason. I personally really enjoy him. I think he's a really cool personality. Seems like a really nice guy. Loves to wear hats. Very, very stylish guy. And just, you know, like a legendary player, man. I mean, like, yeah. He's maybe not the most winning. His play style is not necessarily the most conducive to winning. And I think you've seen that over the course of his career. But definitely a very talented scorer, and he filled it up tonight. He had a season high 28 points and the game winner. So, Melo, there you go. And, before I sign up on the podcast, so if you are a listener of the Raptors Everything live call-in show, which you should definitely be, it comes out every Friday between 3:30 and 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. I take calls on the Raptors along with my co-host Josh Hart. Josh is away on vacation right now, so actually I think – KD came in to fill in last week, and this week I think I'm going to get Alex on Friday. So definitely call in and talk to me and talk about the Raptors. You know, you get a chance to be heard by thousands of people, so it's nice. You can watch it live on YouTube. But for that show, what I want to do is introduce something like a hotline where, you know, I think everyone's in a pretty chill mood on Fridays, and I think that's nice. I kind of like the vibe of a podcast because of that. But if you have frustrations, like I'm sure you're frustrated right now as a Raptor fan after the Raptors lost this freaking game to the Blazers, I want you to leave me basically voicemail. And the way I want you to do that is on Instagram. you can direct message the Yahoo Sports Canada Instagram account and leave a short voicemail with your frustrations and your reactions, whether that's positive, negative, whatever. What we are going to do is on every Friday, we're going to collect those. We're going to clip some of our favorite calls, some of our favorite messages. So, and we will play them on the show. So, you know, I'm sure you have some things to say about the Blazer game tonight. So, again, you go on Yahoo Sports Canada, the Instagram page, you direct message, you leave a voice note, and we will play some of the best calls in our live show on this Friday. But other than that, if you haven't already, go listen to the podcast that I just recorded with Blake Murphy of The Athletic. Nobody else in the beat is as plugged in and as hardworking and as knowledgeable as Blake. So definitely want to hear that. You know, there's a lot of things there. We talked about trade candidates and things like that. So I think it's of interest to everybody to go listen to that show. And finally, thanks everyone for listening. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. And a big thanks to KFC for sponsoring the show. And I'll be back tomorrow night when the Raptors hopefully get back to their winning ways.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.